Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right. The Drive is live on a reaction Monday. There is Clint Sterner, who was out late last night doing the post-game show. He is in. Today, I listened to that because it took me an hour plus to get home. And that's even after sitting through D'Amico and C.J. Stroud. Doesn't matter. Still took me about an hour. So I listened to a lot of you and Sean. Took me on home. There is Tyler Milner, who I'm concerned about. Tyler Milner, who fell off a ladder, who's playing hurt. We've got a high ankle sprain. He's out 6 to 8 weeks, at least in any athletic athletic stuff. He is with us, though, today. He had to sit there, foot up on ice, and I'm sure multiple times in that game, if I know Tyler, he forgot about the injury and may have gotten up
happened. That happened at least once that I remember.
A lot to get to, and we will hear from you because I do want to hear from you because this one feels like one where it's like, yo, what where are we at now? Like, you're 6-4 here. Luckily, everyone in the division, and I mean everyone in the division, lost yesterday, so nothing happens to you in this 2-game losing streak. But a crazy thought here. You just said it, man. This. We talked about it right before the show, Clint. Tytus Howard on a pass protection is somehow, I thought at first he accidentally stripped C.J. Stroud himself. But nah, he's trying to take the ball from C.J. while C.J.'s being sacked to go run for what?
Where's your damn
first
head,
snap?
Dude?
Get some positive yards.
What are you going to do with the ball?
That part, like, I mean, it's a downtime, but that part is just like, there were so many, what in the hell moments. But that right there, that is in the second half, you talk about, how's this thing going? Can't pass protect. And then when you do, your tackle's trying to rip the ball away from the quarterback all the way down.
Oh, my God.
It almost caused disaster that eventually came later on. That was wild. Wild as hell. Damn it, Tytus.
Yeah, that's it goes to show you where the mindset is with certain guys on this squad. That's just plumb ass silly. Like instead of just attaching to the guy that you're blocking and driving him to the ground, even if he beats you, just stay attached, strain, man, and drive him to the ground and keep him out of the play. And instead, you stop, stand up, and decide you're going to try to take the ball from the quarterback and run for a first down, which would have required you to run for about 20 yards, I think, to get the first down. That play right there, your left tackle, Laremy Tunsil, rest day Laremy, gets absolutely ran by.
There may be something there, rest day.
And then all of a sudden,
you know he's getting one this
week. Hello.
Boy, he wouldn't if it's me.
But you know, I mean, he had to go down with an injury, didn't he? He had to miss a play.
Did somebody sign again?
You know he ain't practicing.
You think that'll buy him a rest day?
That's going to buy him Wednesday.
But on the same play, your two tackles, the two guys that you've got the most invested in up front, and really two of the guys that you got more invested in on really the whole damn team, one of them gets blown by and causes the pressure. And the other one,
41? Who's 41?
Parham, Jared Parham, I think. Something Parham.
I thought Parham was a tight end for the Chargers.
I didn't
have Parham.
But one gets blown by and immediately gets beat to the point where it's lucky CJ didn't get T-boned like Kyler Murray did last night and they didn't knock his helmet off of him. But he saw it somehow. And then your other highly paid tackle decides he's going to take the ball from the quarterback and go run for a first down. I mean, what are we doing? Are you kidding me?
What's he thinking, man?
Are you kidding me?
What was he thinking?
I mean, are you kidding me? Like, how do you look at that if you're Nick Caserio or D'Amico Ryans and go, yeah, man, we're in the right spot. Yeah, man, we're moving in the right direction. Come on, man.
It will not be a good night.
Yeah, a rough one here. And I think we're at this point here, and we could start here. 713-572-4610. Those of you on the 5-hour energy fan line, 5-hour energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 and football super fans. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch, what up, Toby, Ben, and Brian, and Gerald, and Joseph, and Champ Slice, everybody on there, that community. We appreciate you joining in with us. Clint, we're 10 games in. The Texans are now 6-4. They've had some injuries. I think Nico should be coming back. We'll see what happens with Will Anderson. But we're now 10 games into this season, and there ain't but 7 left. They're 6-4. I mean, they've seemed primed to win this division and host a home playoff game. What are the Texans? Like, I think now this is a time here. Like, all right, there's nobody. Like, I think now, what are the Texans? I think that's where we need to have a serious conversation of what we've watched and where they are and what are they.
Yeah, look, I think they're a young rebuilding football team. I think they're a young rebuilding football team.
And we thought they were past that, didn't we?
Yeah, I did. I think they're a young rebuilding football team, and when it boils down to it, it's about what they are not instead of what they are. What they are not is they're not ready to be a championship-caliber football team week in, week out. And when I say that, I mean they had several opportunities to put the best team in football to sleep, son. I mean to sleep. Several opportunities. At any point in time, a field goal or a touchdown would have put these boys to sleep. And they failed miserably.
And they were there.
And they failed miserably via the best players on the offense. And then you fast forward to the end of the game. And we just got to call it what it is. Both sides of the football. The moment was too big.
Mm.
The moment was too big. And I said both sides of the football. Let me take that back. The end of the Lions-Texans Sunday night matchup. The moment was too big for the Houston Texans.
We sucked.
All three phases. Polos on the sideline. Superstar game changers. Role players. The moment was too big. The Texans shrunk when it mattered the most, and you had what I believe is the best team in football. You had them on the ropes. You caught them on a night where they turned, where their quarterback turned it over 5 times. Jesus. You had them on the rope. You had them in your place, primetime television. It's set up for you to beat a team and get back on the radar of, hey, man, these Texans are for real. And you shrunk. All three phases. Kyahmi Fairbairn, C.J. Stroud.
It's a 58-yarder, but I...
D'Amico Ryans. Yeah, I mean, look, but the truth, it just is, you had a chance to put the team ahead. You've done it more than damn near anybody in the league this year. Hell, you've been AFC player of the week a couple times because how many 50-plus yarders you kicked. And that's fine. I mean, but all three phases, you had opportunities, and you shrunk in the moment versus the best team in football. That's who they are right now.
That's interesting when you say that because the Lions never panic.
Like not one time.
At any point in the game, and it seems like when CJ up 23-7 comes out, and for those who are watching on TV, at the exact same time that Dan Campbell said, we need to turn the ball over, he throws a pick at the same time, it seemed like the Texans begin to panic right then and there. Up 23-7, it seemed like they begin to panic. And then the defense got a pick right away.
Yep.
Kamari Lassiter got a pick right away. It still seemed like one team was going to go take it, and the other team was crossing their fingers and hoping they would win, and hoping that they would get to the finish line. That was wild. As I said, coming to the people. What are the Texans? 10 games in, they're 6-4. They've just lost what, 3 of 4, and the second halves have been ridiculous. 19-0 yesterday. In the second half, what are the Texans? As you said, they're still a rebuilding team. rebuilding young team. Someone they're not accountable. This is a team that wouldn't shock me if they beat Kansas City, but wouldn't shock me if they lose to Dallas either. The Texans are the same team they've been for the lifespan of the franchise. Saturday noon wild card game team. Yep. They didn't take their foot off the pedal. They just got out of the damn car for the second half is what they did. Sean G on YouTube and Twitch. That's the part about the last 2 weeks that gets me. We can talk about the second halves, and we will, because it's like what Ron Jeremy said. I mean, almost not even. I mean, not Ron Jeremy, not the porn star with the big Johnson. I meant Ron Burgundy.
Sorry. I was like, what?
Sorry. Hey, it's a little nasty time at 2:10. I meant Ron Burgundy, who says, "I'm not even mad, man. It's impressive what they've done in the second halves." But they had two teams that all but did everything they could to try to give you the game, Clint.
Green Bay and Detroit.
The Jets, the last 2 weeks, the Jets had a player just run to the goal line and drop the ball before getting there
to
not score. Like, Devontae Adams dropping big plays. Mike Williams dropping big plays and then catching big plays for Pittsburgh the next week. They did multiple things the Jets did to try to lose the game. And then last night, 5 interceptions. Like, you thought, oh, God, here comes the momentum changer. Get a pick right out of the half. And then Jared throws a pick. And then he kept throwing a pick. And it was like Oprah. Like, you get a pick. You get a pick. It was anything that the Lions tried to do. It was insane. And you could do nothing with it. It did nothing with it. And end up losing the game. It's just, that's the part that gets me, man. You did, like, the... What was that, their D game yesterday the Lions came in and beat you in?
Oh, yeah.
That wasn't even close to their A game. It's a D game. It's just wild what happened. They tried to lose that game, and you could do nothing with it. I am blown away by where this team is. And to me, I'm in a similar space to you. This is a team that's going to win their division and a playoff team, and a team that at this point is going to host a home game that right now I would pick them to lose in, especially when you see who the opponent is. The opponent looks like it will either be right now today would be the Ravens. It could be the Ravens or the Steelers. Feels like that would be the opponent, and right now they feel like they are you look at this, and we'll see what happens when Nico and Will come back, but right now you look at this team and just say that they're not ready to beat those teams, home, road, or not. Hopefully they prove me wrong or whatever, and we continue to watch this team grow and they have a turnaround off of this. But right now, that's just how you have to view it.
Oh, there's no other way to view them. When I say the Texans are not ready to be in the conversation with the best teams in the NFL. The Texans, I'm talking about D'Amico Ryan's down. I'm talking about all the superstars, the guys that are expected to make game-changing plays. It's all very, very, very suspect. The way the Green Bay game ended, we talked about that game when it ended, right? The last drive on both sides of the football, what in the hell are we doing? Biggest moment of the football game, what in the hell are you doing? Right? The Jets game, there's multiple times throughout that game, what in the hell are we doing? This game, both sides of the football, the last drive and the missed field goal, what in the hell are we doing? They're just not. When you talk about championship caliber DNA, when you talk about championship caliber ways of moving and ways of playing and ways of holding accountable and ways of preparing and the way you handle the big moments, the really good football teams have guys that in those moments they play their best football. They make the biggest plays. And the Texans right now have guys that in those moments, and again, including both coordinators, in those moments have shrunk more than they've shined. That's a problem.
It is. And Listen, I mean, like, they got what? They got a bye week. They got 8 more regular season weeks to go. 7 games and a bye week left.
Yeah.
To maybe grow this thing out. But, yeah, it's that's tough. You just I kept saying this in the press box, fellas, like, to everybody up there. Like, they're not really going to allow Jared Goff to throw 5 interceptions and lose this game.
Yeah.
Like, they're not really about to do that, and they did. All right. As we continue on this reaction Monday, many people are worried about Tyler. He's handling it pretty well. I think he's all right. I see people on YouTube and Twitch wondering about Tyler. He's all right.
And just bury it deep down inside and never bring it up again.
It always comes out somewhere, which is scary for the people who are going to be around when that.
He was talking about until he said deep down inside. I was like, well, okay, now he must be talking about the pain from this loss.
Yeah, just, okay.
I didn't know what you were talking about coming off the weekend, but.
May have snacked so much over the weekend. You know, I ate so much until I was hoping I just didn't feel anything, really.
Again. Are we still talking about the Texans game?
A lot of Crustables, Uncrustables, a lot of peanut butter and jelly.
I also want to apologize.
Are you really eating Uncrustables?
Oh, I love those. Those are one of my favorite snacks. I
completely see that, yeah.
I downed like a whole bag of beef jerky and 4 Crustables after that loss for the Texans last night.
What are we doing?
But at least there wasn't whiskey involved.
Yeah, no.
There was.
No, there wasn't. I was foot propped up, completely sober, just started eating.
What about weed?
Yeah.
I'll take it. I'll take over here. One thing.
Weed or whiskey, baby.
One thing that I will say that I took from last night, and like I won't beat this dead horse anymore. I've given up. I'm done. I had a very passionate call out to the fan base a few weeks ago at Big City Wings on a football Friday. And I think, like many others, I have given up and have just moved to accepting that this is just what Houston's going to be.
Hold on, so.
Yesterday, to me, at the end of the game, we're in the press box. I can't really tell if field goals are ever made or not. I always go by fan reaction or then the referee holding their arms up or saying it's no good. And they kicked that field goal to end the game. Tyler, I had no idea who made it. I don't know if he made it or missed it because the crowd erupted as if he missed it. But at that point, the Lions fans had appeared to have taken over the stadium, at one point appearing to have caused a false start on the Texans at one point. I remember Clint leaned over to me and said, did they just cause a false start? Like, to me, I'm no longer, y'all do, I'm not doing it anymore. Like, this is it. And I feel bad because there are so many people here that we run into every week and that we will talk to, we'll run into this week on Thursday, we'll run into at Football Friday when we're out, and that there are passionate fans, from Tony and Larry to Trey, who's probably losing his mind somewhere, that dominant guy in Jersey, whatever. There's so many of you text in. But for things that happened like last night is why Houston has the reputation. And it was a reputation that was told to me before I took this job that is not a real passionate fan base. I don't think that is the case because Tyler is as psychotic about his team as anybody that I've ever seen. And we went down and saw what Canton looked like and saw how the Texans and the traveling Texans went off. I'm not saying it's never there, but last night, national TV, when it feels like any team has the ability to take over your stadium and make it that loud, it's just tough. And I'm no longer gonna try to push and tell, come on, come out now. Y'all clearly gonna do what y'all do. And I said that many people talk, oh yeah, I sold my tickets. I made my tickets back after last night. Interesting move, but in that fourth quarter, those are the times where it's like, damn. This is why you have the reputation that you have. Coming up, 713-572-4610. I want to hear from you because I see a lot of people are down. And I see some people are in the middle. Do you believe that Nico and Will coming back can solve a lot of these issues that the Texans are having? They had 2 of their best players out. Do you believe those guys returning can help solve a lot of those major issues. Want to hear from you, 713-572-4610. And we'll hear from you coming up next right here live on The Drive.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, let's hear from you, the people. 713-572-4610. Tyler, we'll get you in on this Reaction Monday. Want to hear your reaction, and I want to follow this thought. All right, they lost yesterday, and as Clint said, he feels like they, you know, had the best team in football, arguably the best team in football, definitely the best team in the NFC on the ropes. Had them. And you let him go. But you had him on the ropes, Clint, without Nico Collins, who is arguably this team's top weapon, and then without their best defensive player this year in Will Anderson Jr. By the way, I'm still shocked that the Texans did not record any sacks with all the pressure they had last night. I mean, which I think led to several of the picks. But yeah, for them not to have Will Anderson, their best player, and the thought I want to hear from you and the people, and I see some people texting in as well, is do you think that it will solve a lot of the issues the Texans have if they get those two guys back? Someone texted in and said Nico coming back will help because he will catch a ball and make a bad play turn into a great play and will cover up our offensive coordinator and head coach's non-decisions or bad decisions, and that will uplift the other players to a play. Wow, to play at a higher level. That's a lot of thought in Nico. Someone else texted in, they think Nico and Anderson will help mask some of the issues. And I agree with that. I want to go out to you, Jerry, first. Your thoughts on that specifically, Jerry. Are you at a place where you think that Nico and Will Anderson will kind of help solve a lot of the major issues the Texans have?
Most definitely.
All right, Jerry.
Yes, I do.
Oh, go ahead. You want to expound on that, Jerry? Go ahead.
I do. And that little extra help from the defensive line that Will would have brought would have put us over the top. But there was a couple of runs that I saw the QB could have made that they got him so into this quarterbacking from the pocket thing that when the few times that he did get outside on that right side where he could have run, if he'd have just sucked it up and went on to say, hey, I'm going to get this, there was one he could have made a first down that we needed. And then there was one that he threw the ball into the end zone that the guy missed. I feel like if he'd have got on his horse and went, got it, he'd have ran a touchdown because he was that wide open.
All right. Appreciate the call, Jerry. Clearly, he thinks it will help in some things with CJ. We'll get to CJ here in a bit. Durst, we'll get your thoughts on this. Do you think Nico and Will Anderson will help solve some of the major issues the Texans have?
Well, that's not really the problem. You got to play with the cards you are dealt. Both teams have players out. The defense The problem is the coaching is too conservative. When you got a player down, you got to keep your foot on their neck. Every play, the Jets were trying to score. Right before the half, they were still trying to score. They did the same exact thing in the Jets game. They had the ball on the 20-yard line. What'd they do? The first two plays, what, running plays. They weren't trying to score a touchdown. And then the third play was a passer play. They didn't go down in order to get the first team. If you're going to run the ball twice to eat up the opponent timeout, you should have ran the third time to eat up the last timeout. It did depend on your defense. It's coaching.
All right. Appreciate the call. He talked about predictable. I see a lot of people talking about, do you think the addition of Nico Collins will help that, help them not be as predictable, help them, you know, be able to do things offensively?
There's no way that adding back the most productive receiver in the NFL when he's healthy, there's no way layer of the game, stat in the game, phase of the game that it doesn't make easier. Yes, Nico Collins coming back will make things better.
And then less conservative, as some people say.
Well, I mean, I don't know about that. I mean, I don't, but the at the end of the day, like yesterday's a perfect example of Nico. Like, I'm willing, this is one of the very few games where I'm willing to say I believe Diggs and Nico Collins would have made a huge difference. When the Detroit Lions shifted, and their adjustment at halftime was to press man and try to take away all the quick stuff that CJ and Bobby were eating with in the first half. And that was their adjustment. And at that point in time, there's a couple of critical moments in the game. The caller just mentioned one on the very last drive. There's a third and six or third and eight where you get a safety matched up on Xavier Hutchinson, and Hutchinson runs a lazy banana-like slant type thing in there that I believe he just gave the route away. And hell, a safety was able to cover it and get a PBU. You know, Diggs or Nico or even Tank in that particular role, at that point in time, they don't just catch the ball. There's a good chance that it's a huge play because they're in man defense with no deep help and a safety on matched up on a guy. So, I mean, yesterday was a game that the way it unfolded, the way the defense adjusted, I would say that Nico and Diggs would have changed that game big time for what the Texans needed to do and what the Texans struggled with in the second half.
No, I think when you talk about the conservative nature, I think that definitely helps. Kendrick, I'll let you get the last word in this. Kendrick, your thoughts. You think it would be a big help if they had those two guys back?
I think it would be a big help, but I don't think that's the true problem. I think Bobby Slowick can't make adjustments. I think every team makes adjustments against us, but when it comes to the second half, Bobby doesn't make adjustments. And because of the way the offensive line been playing, I believe CJ has went into panic mode.
I'm curious this real quick, Kendrick, and I know we got to go to break. Tyler's staring me down. What adjustments? Like, you just said it. Like, you think about, you know, from Bobby Slowick. I'm just – because everyone says, I want to hear your thoughts. What adjustments when you watch this and knowing the issues that this offense has to begin with, what adjustments do you watch and say, man, I think Bobby should do this differently? Why does he keep doing this?
Well, I'm not gonna sit here and act like I'm an expert, but – all I know is when they come out, they're doing the exact same things that they're doing in the first half. When you watch these other teams come out on defense, everything that we did on offense, these teams are coming out on defense, and they're already ready for it. I mean, that little screen to the wide receiver, that quick screen to the wide receiver to the right or left, in the second half, that stuff be null and void. I just think there's something, like I said, I'm not an expert. But there's got to be something that you're seeing that this defense is doing in the first half that you can come out and do something different with, and I'm just not seeing it.
All right, appreciate the call, Kendrick. Listen, I'm not going to – now, the whole thing, I'm not going to, you know, say Bobby doesn't get any issue. I mean, they've scored 15 points in the second half in the last four games. So, I mean, that is just no touchdowns since the Patriots game in the second half. But understanding the offensive line issues, and in this particular game, you got a new center, and then the old center moved to left guard, and you don't have Nico, you don't have Diggs, and you got a 23-7 lead in the second half. You got Mixon's been the best thing you've done all year long, and the worst thing you've done is pass protect. I'm curious of the adjustments people are watching in these games and saying, damn it, what is Bobby doing here? That to me is what I get curious about, folks. All right, coming up, we'll do our players of the game. And yes, it was a gut-wrenching loss, as I see so many people texting in, but there were some guys who stepped up big time. We'll do our players of the
game. The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Game coming up next.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in as we are live here on a Reaction Monday. As so many of you are getting in on some thoughts, I want to, before we get to our players of the game, our Man Eye Institute players of the game, I do want to apologize for those on YouTube and Twitch when I clearly meant to say Ron Burgundy. I slipped up and said Ron Jeremy, and it just went off into just... some of the nasties on YouTube and Twitch just going back and forth. And I just saw an array of porn star names that just started rolling through in a conversation. And
slip of the tongue.
It was.
Why are all of his slips of the tongue always have to do with porn or the female anatomy?
That's not true. Some of them slip the food.
Very rarely.
I mean, the Texans ticket... Tuesday.
That's what I was thinking about.
I mean, I guess, you calling that food?
It is a Texans. It was a complete accident.
Extracurricular activities, pee.
I could eat. It was an accident. I don't know. Boy, that, I don't know how I got to Jeremy. I mean, it was easy. Like, it was easy to get there. It was clearly Burgundy that I was trying to go for. But I looked up here. I saw Wesley Pipes' name make an appearance on here. I just saw so many. Herschel Savage's name. Make an appearance on here.
That escalated quickly.
So many people. So I apologize. That was me. That was me who started that thing up. Coming up here, by the way, tomorrow, and we'll have that. What are we expecting around 2:30? 2:30 is what we expect to hear from the head coach, DeMeco Ryans. Normally, he speaks sometimes around this time on Mondays, and we carry that. But since the Sunday night game, I think they're pushing things a little bit back, but he'll speak and we'll carry that tomorrow at 2:30. And I know Clint Sterner will be sitting there hoping that he hears the same frustration in his voice, the same annoyance. And he was hot yesterday at the podium. I could see that he was not in a good place, but was very professional and handled it. But you could tell he was ticked off. Like, if you've seen Matt DeMeco, you could tell.
Well, they're all ticked off.
But you want it. But you're hoping
after
you're
the game.
You're hoping that there is you still feel a tinge of frustration tomorrow when he comes on.
Absolutely
at 2:30.
100%. It is. I mean, it is clear. You've lost three of the last four, and it's not like you just ran into some buzzsaws and it just happens. I mean, you had Green Bay on the ropes, let them off. You had Detroit on the ropes, let them off. You let a 2-6 football team beat you by what should have been, if we're being completely honest, three scores. But it's just time. It's time to stop with all the we're just having fun and we just want to enjoy the game and. It's just a game, and you sweep the last game under the rug, and we're back to rest days, and we're back to being happy. Yeah, to me, it's got to change, man. I know that there is, as a leader, as a head coach, there is a you know, through adversity, kind of how you weather that storm is ultimately going to define you. But there's also a part of you're a young head coach, and you've given a team that does have some veterans on it with some very mature youngsters, like you've given them a long leash. You've allowed them to be them. You've allowed them to take their rest days. You've allowed them to take the team over and have this joy approach, and we're going to have fun approach, and hey, it's a long season and one game at a time, and like it's time to adjust. It's time to show, like, it's not about showing, Ron. To me, it's more about, like, not having the ability to hide it. You know what I mean? Like, There should be a level of frustration, a level of embarrassment, a level of concern, a sense of urgency to get things right that you should not be able to. By Thursday, there should be no level of hiding it. There should be no level of things are going to be all right. It's a long season. We're in a good spot. We're 6-4. I love where our team's at. Like, we got to get beyond that. So,
You think we'll hear that?
No, there's nothing that's happened this year that puts me in a spot where I believe that we're even remotely close to it. I think
we'll hear more of the positive.
It's been laughable what the messaging is coming from all of them. And it's all of them. I've heard Nick do it too. I mean, to me, it's laughable. Like, Nick literally, now maybe it was a slip of the tongue, but after the Green Bay game, when you're
like
quarter,
Ron Jeremy,
my man, yeah, like, which, you know, even the greats like you mess up with names sometimes. But I mean, Nick literally said the game went about how we expected it to go. CJ Stroud threw for 86 yards. Your quarterback, how many times did he get sacked against Green Bay? Was that the 8-sack game?
No,
or
the
was
eight
that last
sack
week?
Was last
that was,
week.
That was the Jets. I just don't understand. I don't understand that mindset, that approach. That I understand where coaches and GMs and organizations, you're not going to air your laundry. I get it. You're not going to personally attack anybody, but there's a difference between that and just being so, I don't know the right, because I don't think anybody's faking. But blatantly disregard the obvious. That to me is dangerous, man. Like, at some point, man, I mean, it's just the snowball's rolling downhill, and what are you going to do to stop it? Are you just going to keep the same messaging?
Yeah, we'll see. I'm with you though. I think it'll be a similar.
I think it's going to be very, because here's the deal. The reality of it is that this team could continue down the path that they're going down right now. And as long as you beat Tennessee, who is terrible, you ain't got to beat them both times, I don't think. You beat Jacksonville once, you're going to win the division, you're going to be in the playoffs. You have a home playoff game. So you can stay the course. Like, if that's the goal, if that's the goal and that's what you're cool with, and which they'll never say that, but their actions will tell you one way or another. Like, you can stay the course and rest assured you get to 9 dubs, you're going to be in a playoff, you'll get a home playoff game, but you're not going to be anywhere remotely close to where you were when the season started and through the first 6 games this year, where people thought you were like a legitimate top 5 team in the NFL.
Yeah. Yeah. The bottom will fall out if they lose next week to that Cowboys.
Oh my God, we got plenty left this week to talk about that. But that's a
Tyler, calm down. Don't even think of that. Cooper Rush. Ooh. Don't even think about it. All right, let's hit it. Our Man Eye players of the game. Man Eye Institute players of the game. I'll start with mine, Clint. I'm going to go with Jalen Petrie. I thought Jalen Petrie this week, and I think a lot of this goes towards D'Amico Ryans and Matt Burke, but he was special. He got his hands on the ball that led to the first interception that got this thing started the way they needed it, Clint. He was around the ball all game long, and it seemed like the Texans were able to play him in the way that they wanted to play him instead of the Lions being able to dictate how they were going to go against Jalen Petrie. You didn't see him locked up a lot against St. Brown, especially in the first 3.5 quarters. He was around the line of scrimmage causing havoc. He was killing them in the run game. He was like a fourth linebacker up there. You saw why Jalen Petrie being up there. Now, the hope is that dude Brian Branch on the other side, the hope is that he could be able to cover and do similar things to Brian Branch down the line, who was special, special. That guy should be an All-Pro this year. But I like Jalen Petrie's game a lot yesterday.
Yeah, I like Jalen Petrie as well, Ron. I think this game set up really well for D'Amico from a personnel standpoint, and Jalen Petrie is kind of where that stands out. You know, the way that they're a heavy 12 personnel, one back, two tight ends, two wide receivers. You know, you almost by personnel that eliminate Jalen Petrie having to get matched up in critical situations with a wide receiver, which would be Jameson Williams or Amon-Ra St. Brown. You know, a lot of two tight sets, which plays into the hand of you know, more linebackers and Jalen Petrie style. So, but he went out there and found a way to make it work, man, and had a good game. Yeah, I like Jalen Petrie, man. That's a good one.
All right, who's yours?
I'm gonna go with John Metchie, man. I think there's a couple of things that I think fans could take from this game in a positive light, but there's really only one thing that I think that they'll accept, and that is the fact that the John Metchie story has come to a head here in a beautiful way.
Good interview you guys had with him yesterday.
Yeah,
you're not happy for that kid. You're heartless.
Yeah, man. That to see him go out there and play as well as he did, it was it wasn't just you know, a couple of times he got into an open zone or something. He went out there and made some big time big boy plays, catches in traffic, beating man to man, winning in a quick game. You know, making yourself available to the quarterback and big target, big chest, big target. I mean, he had a beautiful outing, and just his story coming together, Ron, is so beautiful. And let's be honest, I mean, it's coming together in a way that the team needs him right now more than they ever have. And so the timing's great, the story's great. Good to see him get out there and prove that he's ready to take that next step.
All right, Tyler, real quick, you got one? You got you a
yeah. I mean, I guess
because last time it was the water boy.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of giving players of the game whenever you play football like ass. But if I had to pick one, I guess I'd go with tight end Dalton Schultz. I believe that was a season high for yards for Dalton, if not close to it. 3 receptions, 66 yards, 22 yards a catch. Yeah, I'll go with Dalton here.
Yeah, for you. Dalton had a nice game when he got involved.
Maybe he can find the end zone sometime. That'd be cool.
Yeah, well, yeah, that would be cool. All right, coming up as we continue, it's that time we do it every week. C.J. Stroud's great. 713-572-4610. Those of you on the 5-Hour Energy Fan text line, those of you on YouTube and Twitch, we'll get our thoughts, Clint's thoughts. What was C.J. Stroud's grade? He was 19 for 33, 232 yards, 1 touchdown and 2 interceptions, 1 carry for 5 yards in the game. What was C.J. Stroud's grade from yesterday? We'll discuss that as we return back to the drive on this Reaction Monday.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week, with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.